Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. You know, I got an email just the other day from Lynn Murrow. She's the executive vice president for Lifestyles Unlimited. She's basically the person behind the scenes, making sure that all the services that are necessary for our members to receive are operating efficiently and effectively. And one of the things Lynn does is she'll send out periodic emails regarding information that the rest of us can use. And in an email she sent out yesterday, she was talking about an interview that she watched from a economics guy. I don't know if he's an economics guy, but this guy is in the gets it club when it comes to real estate investing and all of the bigger picture things that have to do with the real estate investing marketplaces. Yeah, it's like big picture stuff. You know, the stuff that I do is more on the tactical side and kind of into the operational side. But the stuff this guy does is way up in the strategic side. So when Dr. Peter Linneman says something, what we have found is that he usually has a tendency to be pretty spot on. The guy spends a lot of time doing his research, doing his homework, putting together information, developing information, creating facts. Not, well, that sounded wrong. It sounds like it was a mainstream media thing, you know, creating facts. But my point is this. When Lynn sent out this message, she put in this message an excerpt from this interview that Dr. Linneman did with somebody by the name of Willie Walker from Walker and Dunlap. And he was talking about inflation. Now, I've brought up this topic of inflation over the last couple of weeks because inflation is something that naturally occurs. Sometimes it occurs because the government gets stupid with monetary policy. Sometimes it occurs because of constraints in the markets to provide specific goods, sometimes services, and that can drive pricing up a little bit. Supply and demand has a little bit of a play in it. And, you know, I don't want to turn this into a doctoral thesis on inflation, but I want you to understand that inflation occurs. And you may feel inflation occurring around you. Now think about it. What were you paying for gas before the Biden administration was put into office? And the short answer is a lot less. And part of the reason for that is that the Biden administration put taxes on automobile fuel. Yeah, I'm sure they had a specific reason for doing that. Maybe it was to improve infrastructure. Maybe it was to spend on things that had nothing to do with transportation. I don't know. I'm not paying attention to that stuff. But pricing went up on fuel due to taxes that were put into place. Now, there's some supply and demand stuff going on. I mean, the country is opening back up. More and more people are getting back on the roads. People are getting into their cars and actually maybe driving to their offices and conducting business there as opposed to conducting business at home. So supply and demand factors into that a little bit. But here's the takeaway. The overall cost of fuel has risen. And because the overall cost of fuel has risen, the cost of goods and services have a tendency to rise with it. Because the way most goods get to market is by train, plane, bus, boat, or rail. Yeah, okay, maybe not so much bus, but there's a fuel cost associated with that. So the cost to provide the logistical support to get that good to wherever you want it to be is costing a little bit more money. So businesses have to account for that. The cost of providing their goods and maybe their services has gone up because the fuel prices have risen. Yeah, kind of gives you an idea about what kind of goes on in the marketplace. You know, another thing you may have noticed is that when you go and buy meat, I've noticed that the price of beef seems to be creeping up. Now, maybe that's something that's going on in my neck of the woods. Maybe it's not going on in your neck of the woods. But I noticed tri-tip roasts. By the way, I'm a huge fan of tri-tip roasts. And if you don't know what a tri-tip is, I'll tell you what, that is a neat cut of meat that is delicious, especially when barbecued or smoked. But I don't want to talk about that, even though it's summer, getting to be summertime, and it's spring right now. But my point is this. I had a party recently at my house, and I went to the butcher, and I said, okay, I'd like to pre-order some meat. So I pre-ordered the meat, and it just happened to be a bunch of tri-tip roasts. And I noticed that the price on those roasts had gone up 50 cents a pound from 2 weeks prior when I had bought just one singular roast. Yeah. Then I also noticed that other cuts of meat have had a tendency to go up like $1 a pound. Yeah. I mean, it seems insignificant, right? Okay. So you go out and you buy yourself a 1 pound New York steak and it's delicious. And you decide next week you're going to do the same thing. So you go back to the butcher, and now that piece of meat is $1 more. Now, is it going to break your household for you to pay $1 more? No, not even close, is it? But when you consider the fact that that supermarket, and in my case, that supermarket chain, which is a very big chain, is not only selling me that piece of meat, they're selling that piece of meat to a lot of other people. It makes me wonder, is that increase in revenue stream directly proportional to the supermarket, the meat provider, the fuel provider? I don't know. When we come back from the break, I'm going to clean all this up and we're going to talk about inflation effects. Stick around.
Del Wamsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
As I sit here and read article after article and see TV show after TV show, the normal person out there on the street cannot overcome their fear to get to the analytical part of this whole process. I'm not afraid of, and I'm actually ready for a recession, a crash of value of anything and everything. Why? It is the opportunity to do incredible stuff. But that's my analytical brain.
The United States has a very strong economy. We will return to our basic economic foundation. This is not going to be the end of the world for everyone. But you do need to take some action. And some actions will be more productive than others. And one of the things that I think you can do now is take this time, like you said, Del, people are going to be sitting at home, and you have a time right now to change your life. Make what you have work for you.
You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so we went to break, and what did I do? I, like, stirred up the hornet's nest. Yes, I did that. That was my fault. I stirred up the hornet's nest. I got you thinking about inflation. I got you thinking about barbecuing steaks. I got you thinking about the cost of those steaks. I got you wondering whether or not the cost of those steaks went up because the supermarket's trying to make more money to increase the revenue streams or their margins. Or maybe it's because of fuel prices rising because the cattle has to get to market. Or maybe it's because of something else I haven't even thought of. Yeah. But here's the point. Dr. Peter Linneman, gave a talk recently that caught my eye. When I looked at Dr. Linneman's interview, I realized this guy and I have a tendency to think alike. We have the same common thoughts with regards to the economy and inflation and things like that. So here's the part of Dr. Linneman's talk that really caught my eye. Let me see if I can paraphrase this for you. So about 24 minutes into the interview, Dr. Linneman addresses inflation with an easy to understand explanation of what happened in the last decade, as consumer products have experienced little inflation while investable assets have seen enormous inflation. Let that sink in for a minute. So the cost of goods and services has remained relatively unchanged. In other words, what you would pay for these things. And there's been some minor pushes upward. But like I said, they're pretty minor. I mean, after all, the price of the steak that I paid for those tri-tip roasts, it just may have been a supply and demand thing. May have been all there was to it. Who knows? But let's get back to what Dr. Linneman says, because this is important information you need to hear. He goes on to explain that a fundamental increase in values as the government sends what he calls rescue money into investable assets, and why pricing will not go down again unless this money is withdrawn from the system, which is highly unlikely. I mean, once the government puts money in the system, they don't normally pull it out. It does happen, but you usually read about them pushing money into the system, not pulling money out. And here's the result. By all of this happening, it will create a permanent reset in the market. And increasing volatility in some assets, like the stock market. Yeah. Now you think about that for a minute. You think about that a minute. He's basically saying that the things that we invest in have gone up in value. And we have seen that. He believes that part of the reason the stock market has maintained its health through the pandemic, and even today, he believes that that was caused by government intervention. Things that the government was doing in order to maintain the economy so that it wasn't worse for us than what we experienced over the last year. Now, don't get me wrong. There were people that were significantly damaged by the pandemic, financially damaged. Yeah, people were affected. And maybe by the government injecting money supply into the system, it kept other people from being damaged. I mean, who knows what goes on behind all those smoke-filled rooms in the halls of Congress? Yeah, I always wonder, is it really like what you see on TV? But let's get to Dr. Linneman's assessment on the fact that investable assets, things like real estate, things like stocks, things like bonds, things like gold, things like silver, things like whatever else you invest in, those investable assets have gone up in value. They have repositioned their price point in the market. And what that leads me to believe is this, that the people that are talking about this massive bubble that's out there in the real estate market, you've seen it. I've seen it. I've been to those chat boards and I've read opinions that aren't supported by any factual evidence that I can go research myself and either support or refute the opinion that's given. But there's a lot of fear out there. A lot of fear out there. Fear that the housing market is going to implode. Fear that all of a sudden that house that you just bought for X amount of dollars is going to be worth, you know, 60% of X, that we are just right on the cusp of what happened in 2008 with the real estate market. And Dr. Linneman's basically saying, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. See, housing prices have adjusted. They have adjusted upwards. We're seeing that. I mean, we're seeing a very strong seller's market. For people that own real estate assets, it might be a good time to sell those assets. I mean, think about it. If you've owned a single family rental home for maybe the last 3 to 5 years, and part of your exit strategy is to dispose of that home, take the proceeds from that home, maybe do a 1031 exchange and go buy additional assets that you can renovate and fix up and put into service, therefore increasing your cash flow, therefore increasing your asset base, which therefore increases your overall wealth potential. Maybe this is a good time to sell. And you're thinking to yourself, but here's the problem. If I sell in a seller's market, I have to buy in a seller's market. This is true. There is a little risk there. You might wind up paying more for the replacement properties than you think that they're worth. But at the end of the day, what you need to do is make sure you understand the markets. Make sure you understand what kind of replacement properties are out there, what the price points for those properties are that you're looking at, what the renovation costs for those properties are. Make sure you do your homework and understand what the situation will look like before you sell your replacement property. That's part of what I do every day. I mean, I get information from all these realtors that I've made contact with that send me deals to review. What that information stream provides to me is an opportunity to see the trends going on in the marketplace. I know that in certain marketplaces, you can get into properties for $10,000 to $20,000 cash out of pocket. Other marketplaces, it's higher. It's 20 to 30. Some are 30 to 40. They all have different cash range potentials. So you have to understand where you're trying to go, and you have to understand the health of the market. We'll be back right after this.
Del Walmsley talks about positive cash flow tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought three more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise. Tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register today at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So I'm talking about inflation again, because I think it's important to wrap our heads around this thing. Inflation is just a natural thing that occurs. The cost of goods and services has a tendency to go up over time. And inflation is one of those things that tends to push pricing upwards. Yeah, it's part of the reason that when you look at a dollar bill that was issued in 1972, and if you still have that dollar bill today, that same 1972 dollar bill, what you would find is if you took that dollar bill to the grocery store today, that dollar bill would only buy, I don't know, maybe a Snickers bar. I think I saw them on sale for 88 cents. And once you pay the tax, there's only a couple of cents left over, right? But back in 1972, that dollar bill would easily pay for a gallon, maybe two, of gas. It would easily pay for milk and some bread. It would easily buy more things. So inflation is the result of the dollar not having the same purchasing power over time. Now, we have a tendency to compensate for that because we throw more dollars at our employees. We push more dollars into the system to kind of make up for that, so that now if we go to buy gas, we need about $3. Okay, maybe close to $5 if you're in California with all the taxes that they have. I don't know that gas is $5 in California, but I do remember a time period in California when I was there when I was paying over $5 a gallon for unleaded fuel. So that's where my memory banks come from. So the interesting statement that Dr. Peter Linneman makes is that he believes that the increase in pricing and in volatility in the real estate markets is pushing upward pressure on the price. It's pushing prices up. And of course, there's the whole supply and demand thing, because if you ask any realtor that knows what they're doing, they will tell you that they have never seen inventory levels as low as they have seen them now and the last few months. I mean, that's kind of the thing. But in the meantime, you have people out there with money that want to get into the game. So you have an asset that you put on the market. Next thing you know, you've got like 10 competing entities coming in bidding up the price. That's good for you if you're the seller. It may or may not be good for you as the buyer. Don't be afraid to pay a little bit more for a property if that property still pencils out for you. As real estate investors, we look at the real estate market differently than most people do. See, we look at every piece of real estate out there as a business asset. And we evaluate those assets based on the potential, based on what they can do for us. And then we make decisions as to whether or not we will pursue those assets based on our personal goals and objectives. That's how big business does it. Why should we be any different? And it goes back to sitting down and figuring out where you're at. If you have not filled out a personal financial statement, you're wrong. Because you don't know where you sit financially. Yet you think the fact that you still have a couple dollars left in your checking account, now that we're close to the end of the month, and you didn't run out of money, that you're going to be okay. And I'll tell you what, a lot of Americans live that way, paycheck to paycheck, more month at the end of their money. Heck, I remember days like that. I remember days, you know, back in my youth where I got to this point in the month, I've got no cash. Fortunately, I paid all my bills and I've got macaroni, cheese, and ramen in the cupboard. Real estate assets have to be viewed as potential sources of income for you and potential sources to grow your equity and your wealth. That's what you have to wrap your head around. There are people out there that think transitioning your mindset from a middle-class mindset to a millionaire's mindset is a big waste of time. They think it's a big waste of time. They think it's all this touchy-feely mumbo-jumbo stuff that doesn't really work. And I'm here to tell you, they've got it wrong. Absolutely wrong. And here's why. The majority of you, me included, were raised with a middle-class mindset. We were told, go to school, get good grades, get into college, get good grades, get a job that will pay you more money because you went to college. And then when you get that job, it's going to give you a salary and maybe some benefits like health insurance or something like that. And maybe they'll sprinkle on something like a retirement account. Maybe they'll give you a 401k. And if you're really lucky, maybe they'll match some funds. I mean, that's the glory days, right? I mean, that's the big money you've been looking for, right? And at that time point in your life, you enter into indentured servitude. You heard me correctly, indentured servitude. You're trading your time, you're trading your skill set for money, working for somebody else, helping them to achieve their goals and objectives while not focused on your goals and objectives. And then they give you this lie that, hey, dude, you got that 401k. Everything's going to be fine. We got your back, man. We got your back, man. And you do that job for maybe 5 years. And then all of a sudden, something happens in the economy or something happens with that organization's business model and they're bleeding red ink. And you get called in your boss's office and he goes, hey, man, hate to tell you this. You're a great dude and everything. And I'm willing to give you a reference letter. But effective today, you're no longer with the company. That stuff happens. That stuff happens. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, out of nowhere, your entire life is rocked. Absolutely rocked. And if you're one of those Americans that went out and bought that nice house and you bought that nice car and you bought nice clothes and you financed all this stuff and every dollar you bring in from that organization you work for goes right back out in loan payments and other things while you continue to present this image of success to everybody else so that you can feed your ego and feel like you're superior to everybody else. And then when you walk out of that room, after your boss says, "Sorry, man, hate to do it to you, but you gotta go," now you're back at square one. Now you're trying to figure out, okay, where do I go next? What people did I not burn bridges with? Who do I know that could help me get a job? Because now you're desperate. Now you need income streams. And now you're looking at those savings accounts that you have and you're going, all right, I'm going to start dwindling those down to support my lifestyle while I get ready to find that next job. Well, that feeling right there, that feeling of tapping into your money and living off it and watching it deplete while you find your next job, that's exactly what retirement looks like on this game plan. We come back from the break, I'm going to show you a different way. Stick around.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So Dr. Linneman has got my mind running a million miles an hour because there are so many things that I want to share with you, so many things that I want to tell you. But I'm concerned that many of those things may be lost on you. And I'm not saying that to put you down. I'm not saying that to belittle you. I'm just telling you that you and I have a different level of investing education. And I said education. I didn't say experience. I said education. See, as a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, I've been instructed on the correct way to approach investing in real estate assets, and specifically in residential income producing assets. Homes, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, multifamily apartment communities. That's the sweet spot. That's our bread and butter. We don't go into other forms of commercial real estate. I don't care that money is flowing into retail right now. I don't care because I don't do retail. And I will tell you this, the people that did retail prior to the pandemic hitting, many of them were crushed. Now, some of those big, giant, faceless entities like insurance companies and pension funds and things like that, they can ride the whole thing out. The property can sit there empty because they don't care, because they're just parking money. But you and I, we're investing a different way. See, a mediocre 4% return on investment doesn't do it for you and I. No, we need much better returns, especially if you're farther along in age like I am. Trust me, if I had learned what I learned almost 4 years ago when I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, 14 years ago, holy smokes, I can only imagine where my portfolio would be right now, because I would have avoided so many other mistakes that I had made, and I would have been focused on what is truly important. I would not look at my investing as a secondary or third order effect of my life. Which is probably what you're doing. Yeah, I'm the guy that's going to tell you what no one else is going to tell you. I mean, think about it. You're working your job. You're diligent. You're good at what you do. And the reason I know you're good at what you do is because you're still doing it. If you weren't good at what you did, you wouldn't be doing what you do right now. Right? Right. Okay, so you're dedicated, you're focused, you're doing what you need to do, but you're trading time for money. And if you do not break that cycle, you will continue to trade time for money until it's time to retire, provided you live that long. Statistically, we know that 29% of all Americans that would get to the age of 65 and start retiring pass away before they retire. It just, they're done. It's over. There's no reset button. So how old are you? What's wrong with you being retired in the next 5 years? I know it sounds like a stretch, doesn't it? Sounds like a bunch of mumbo jumbo. And I'll tell you what, I kind of thought that too when I went to Lifestyles Unlimited to hear what they had to say. But once I heard what they had to say and the fact that they had a different approach, they weren't just interested in selling me a membership. They were actually interested in educating me and helping me to understand that there's an absolutely better way to do this than what I had done. If you don't know my story, let me just give you a little snip. I spent 27 years serving our country in the United States Army. I don't regret it. I regret none of it. But here's the problem. When I got to physical retirement from the Army, because even though they said they were going to promote me, deploy me overseas, and then change their mind and didn't promote me, as a matter of fact, retired me when I came back, and I wound up with this giant sucking sound in my checking account, because the pension that I earned was only paying one-third of what I had been making on active duty. We were a single-income household. My wife doesn't work. So we couldn't rely on that income stream. And it's not like I could go, hey, honey, why don't you go out and get a minimum wage job? Because that's going to solve all our problems. Because that wasn't the answer either. And I wound up going to work in an organization that we didn't agree on everything. The direction that organization was trying to go and my concept of where it should go, they were a little out of balance. And coming from an Army environment where there is some politics into municipal government environment where it's all politics was just a nightmare for me. And the more I sat in my cubicle, the more I realized that I was going to be working until the age of 70 because my game plan at that point was to take Social Security at the maximum amount. I was in cubicle hell and I thought I was going to be working until the age of 70. In 2017, I went to a Lifestyles Unlimited free workshop. Because I had heard about real estate investing on the radio. And even though I was a real estate investor, I was not a very good one. Of course, I didn't find that out until I became a member and went through the educational program that Lifestyles Unlimited provides all of its members. And I realized I had made some glaring errors. My first course of action was to fix all the problems that I had created for myself, even though I didn't know there were problems until I realized there were problems. And I got myself on a game plan to retire myself in 5 years or less. And I screwed it up. See, I got it done in two. Because I did the things that I was taught to do. I stayed focused. I understood what my goals and objectives were, what I was trying to accomplish. I deployed assets out there. I got rid of assets that were underperforming. I bought assets that perform much better. I'm not afraid of the real estate market right now. I think the real estate market in the residential side, anyhow, it's very healthy. Yeah, I think it's very healthy. I don't think we're going to see a crash in prices. Now, that's my opinion, strictly my opinion. I think what we're seeing is we're seeing ARVs. We call ARVs after repair values. Those are the things that we look at when we determine what the value of a property could be. Because I told you I was going to tell you how we do this stuff. See, I don't go and compete with other people for retail pricing on a house. Oh, that's a pretty house. It's all fixed up. Let me compete with 10 other guys. And let me just run that price up as high as I can until it's not performing the way it should. We don't buy real estate that way. We go out and we find the stuff that people will not buy. We find those distressed properties, those ones you drive by and you go, oh my God, that's such a blight on the neighborhood. And when we see that, we go, oh my gosh, that is potential income. And we know how to evaluate property. We know how to evaluate the cost to renovate property. We run all of our numbers up front. If the numbers don't work, we pass on the deal. We don't get emotionally attached to our assets. Our assets are just that. They are assets that have specific purpose for our investing strategy. So real quickly here, I've got about a minute left, maybe a minute and a half. Another deal came by my desk. Yeah, and this one's a kind of a tiny little house. ARV is $125,000. You can buy for $73,000. It produces, once you fix it up, it's going to take about $24,000 to fix it up, another $10,000 for closing and holding costs. But your cash out of pocket on this deal is only $9,000. $9,000. And when you buy this property, it's going to produce $266 a month in cash flow. And you're thinking, well, I can't even make my car payment with that. Oh, okay. I get that. But when you take a look at the fact that when you annualize that $266, that turns into $3,192. When you divide that by the $9,000 that you put into the deal, you're getting a 35% return on your money just on the cash. 35% return on your money. Where are you getting 35% return on your money? Yeah, that's the question you have to ask yourself. And let's say you hold this property for 5 years. Let me give you the five-year returns, the projections that I see. I see this property rising in value to a projected future value of about $148,500. If you sell that property after 5 years of holding it, you will achieve about $65,000 in capital gains based on a $9,000 investment that you made 5 years previously. That's a 725% return on your money. And when you factor in all the cash flows that you receive, you're at over 900%. You've got to check out real estate. And to do so, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.